Ask the Podcast Coach for April 23rd, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
We were dancing to Prince earlier. It was fun.
Nice.
Hey, it's Saturday morning. Time to get your groove on. And Steve Lee in the house. Gotta love that. Howdy, Steve. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. My name is Dave, and I am funky. Going back to the Prince reference here. I am the podcast guy. I guess that makes me the podcast coach. And from the school of podcasting.com, joining me as always, the lovely, the talented, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. How's it going, Jim?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Good to be back for another spring edition of Ask the Podcast Coach. And we would like you to have some questions. So either drop them in the chat room or join us here on Blab if that's possible.
Well, what's really cool, we have one right out of the gate. It's aged like good wine. It actually, Stargate Pioneer sent it in last week. And silly me, there comes a certain point where I don't check email anymore in the morning. Like I get in, I start doing show prep, and if I've checked it and it's not there. And so he actually sent this in. It's actually an interesting question in a way.
Good morning, Jim and Dave. This is SP from the GunnaGeek.com network. I will be on the road as you guys record and stream today. This is Saturday, the 16th of April. But I did have a couple of terminology questions for you, and I figured I would send in some audio so that you could answer my question. Anyway, the terminology questions are mentor and show, two terms that have been discussed over the last few months. Dave, you mentioned that you were transitioning from becoming a podcast coach to podcast mentor before. One, is that still ongoing? And two, if so, are you going to rebrand Ask the Podcast Coach as Ask the Podcast Mentor? And the other question is regarding show, especially since so many shows, at least that I do, four out of the five, are actually recorded audio and video. So it's not just an audio podcast. It's got video inclusive into it. How are you guys with the term show instead of podcast? And what are the ramifications of that? Are we talking about a transition away from the podcast model that we've known for the past 12 years? Or is it just naturally evolving and everything will just be fine calling it as a podcast? Just some philosophical questions that have been running around my head the last week or so, and I thought I'd get it out of my head and into yours. So hope you guys are having a great day. Love the show, as you guys know, and I can't wait to hear your answer. Hopefully I'll be able to listen on the road, but we'll see if my data package and Blab cooperate. Hope you guys are having a great weekend. Catch you later. Bye.
All right. So the first thing on the whole mentor coach thing, it's kind of funny looking back at it, but I had approached and I wish I could remember his name, 'cause I'd like to throw him under the bus. This really well-known coach guy. And I said, hey, I would like to help you start a podcast. You're a well-known author, New York Times bestselling author. You don't have a podcast. You need a podcast. I would like to be your podcast guy for free. I'll do everything for free. All I ask is if somebody asks you, hey, who's doing your podcast? You point them at me. To which he said, more or less, do you know who I am? Kind of thing. And at the end of his sentence, he said, by the way, you're not going to make it anywhere calling yourself a personal podcast coach. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am aware of who you are. My name is Dave Jackson. Here's my credentials. I didn't want to send you a long email because I just want to get to know you and talk about this opportunity. To which he said, why would I want to stick you on my audience to sell them stuff? And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Here's the deal, you know, and only if somebody would ask you, would you then point them to me? To which he politely said, don't email me anymore. So it was this well-known coach guy that said, you're not going to make it anywhere, kid, in this thing with, and I actually went to somebody that's kind of a business coach. And I said, did I pitch this wrong or something? And he said, no. And his exact phrase was, that guy's just a douche. And I went, oh, okay. So that kind of got in my head. The other thing is,
so you're going to go back to coach, or you're going to stay mentor school podcast?
You know me, I'll probably switch back and forth. I feel like a person. I've always liked personal podcast coach because personal podcast,
I think it sounds better.
Yeah. And it rolls off the tongue a little better because I have to really think about it when I say professional podcast mentor. It just, no, it's got two P's. I'd rather have two C's, podcast coach. So I agree. Yeah. So that was the one thing. And then if you listen to John Lee Dumas, he always says, I went and found a podcast mentor. So I'm always thinking, picture going, people going, I need to Google podcast mentor. And I thought it might come up. Maybe. So it wasn't that well thought out. I just had one guy that kind of stuck in my brain that maybe I should change what I'm calling myself. And I know a lot of people, when they hear the word coach, go, ugh, it's like new and noteworthy. It makes them throw up in their mouth a little bit. And
there are some, I think those that have been in the space for a while, and coaching is a big deal. I mean, we think at Gallup coaching is going to be a big deal. And so we're landing on the word coach. I think it's an important word. I think you can get two for one, Dave, if you keep it podcast coach and then say, I am a mentor.
Yeah.
Boom. And you can use both words. And then for SEO purposes, they both get picked up.
Yeah. And
podcast versus show.
I think they
can both be used. Yeah. I think whatever makes sense, right?
I've always liked the word show, not against podcast, but if somebody like went to get the Prince podcast, and princepodcast.com is already taken, the first thing I would say is see if Prince show is taken, because show, as opposed to Prince radio, is radio is always audio. You're kind of pinned yourself in, or if somebody calls it something like that. Show is very open-ended. So if I say, this is the coaching show, it could be audio, it could be video, it could be whatever you want. So I've always liked the word show as an alternative. I'm not one of these people that thinks the word podcast is holding us back.
No, in fact, I think it'll push us forward. Yeah. I think it is the term that will push us forward.
Yeah. When I was trying to do the Dates from Hell podcast, and datesfromhell.com was taken, I went for datesfromhellshow.com. Number one, it's less letters to type than podcast. I know that sounds weird, but the less people have to type, the less chance they're going to have a typo. And so that's...
I just think there's times when podcast is appropriate, and there's times when show is appropriate, and it's a branding thing. Yeah. And it just depends on what you're trying to do. And so I would hate to do... there's just, you know, I've used this example before, but we do a podcast at Gallup called Polling Matters. And the Polling Matters show, the system work, but Polling Matters, the podcast, does work.
Right.
Because there's a book, right? He wrote a book with it. And then this is the podcast. And so if you're blending those two brands, to say the show in that context, it just doesn't sound right. You know, you're like, no, this is the podcast part of it. Here's the, and so I think you can use them interchangeably.
Yeah. And I also think it depends on your audience. So if it's for people, like if I'm doing an AARP podcast, I might want to call it AARP radio, because in theory, that audience is going to be a little older. You might want to connect that dot.
Yeah. I actually think that sounds cool too. I mean, I'm also in the camp that radio, you know, I know there are some who are anti-radio at the end of things, but I think that has an appropriate term as well. We do this one called higher ed, radio higher ed. And that it works, right? And people don't think, oh, radio, it's they learn it as a brand, and then they just come to it. And it's, you know, RHE, if you want to do it for the acronym. So I think there are times when throwing in that word radio, the only thing I don't think that works, Dave, is what everybody keeps talking about, which is on-demand
radio,
media. That's the stupidest term. I mean, I know that's what it is. But good God, people, if we use that term to average people, they'll melt. They'll just, what?
Yeah.
So pick one of those brands. Pick a show, pick a podcast, pick radio, pick one of those. Just don't use on-demand media. That's terrible. That's terrible branding. It's awful. Stop saying those things.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
We can say it, right, as podcasters. Right. Like it's an industry term, right, that we understand. But God, do not
the average
put that
person,
on the end of your podcast.
It's on-demand audio. It's like, what are you listening to? My favorite on-demand audio.
It's on-demand. Nobody references it to on-demand movies from Netflix.
It's Netflix, exactly.
I have a great story about putting a shirt on. So this week, so this is the dangers of kind of what we're doing here, right? So we're doing the Gallup podcast. And we leave at the end of the show, we leave it open for folks to kind of jump in and join us. And we talk about the theme stuff and for someone to join us. And the guest who we just throw the link out into the chat room, and that's a pretty pro. You know, we have a lot of our coaches and stuff that listen to this podcast. I don't expect any Baba Booies, But the a guy jumped in, no shirt. Seriously, no shirt.
Nice.
We didn't, you know, nothing from here down, but here, and it was obvious, you know, bare shoulders. Unless he was wearing a halter top. I'm not sure he was, but it was, and I thought, oh man, the things you don't expect when you're when you're podcasting. And this is a yeah.
Here we go.
This is like supposed to be a work, like an enterprise podcast, and it's one of those things you think, oh yeah, how did that happen?
You kind of forget to mention, oh, by the way, if you could have some clothes on when you call in.
Yeah, it's you just don't think you have to do that. So let's go back. There was a question in chat. What do you guys think is more of a priority, maintaining the focus of the show or interacting with the audience? Maintaining the focus, interacting with the audience. So I'm assuming when we say maintain the focus of the show, that means show content. That's the thing you're doing in the show. And then interacting with the audience, I'm assuming, is the social piece of it afterwards, working with folks. I don't know, Dave, what do you think? I think they're both important, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think I will interact with the chat room. Like right now, the chat room is going bonkers on the clothing thing. I think my favorite line is no shirt, no shoes, no podcast.
Yeah.
So I think if the chat room is contributing to the topic, we've talked about this with my somewhat ADD. I have a tendency to go down many rabbit trails. So I think if they're adding something, and it's hard with the chat room, especially when it really gets rolling, to catch those things that are coming in. So I think in the end, it's all about good content, because the people in the chat room will only stay if you're providing good content. So yeah. So if they're adding to the topic, but on the other hand, they might have something that I go, ooh, I never thought of that. And I will slightly, you know, steer right and follow the audience. Cause in the end, it's your audience. And the chat room kind of represents the people that are listening later as well. So
yeah, it is your audience. I mean, you do want to engage them. You don't want to totally ignore them. It's that dance between both, right? I mean, you've got to be working to always improve the content that you're doing and not ignore them. But when it's appropriate, this is the hardest part, I think, about doing a live program, is reading both the chat and keeping the conversation and not getting distracted. You know, I think there are times early in our podcasting when we're doing this live and we'll be in the middle of a sentence and you'll see something in chat and then you just drop right to it, which you don't have to do, right? It's still going to be there. Although in this case, it's scrolling pretty fast today, so it's hard to keep up with it all. But both interacting with them and working with them and bringing in when it's appropriate. And then also sometimes not getting off the point. I mean, sometimes, especially in an interview, the chat room can derail a conversation,
yeah,
and take it in a way that's not as productive as you kind of want it to be. So a good host, you've got to kind of understand where you're going. And then you're going to have to just take some risks on it. Sometimes it's better to go with the chat room. Sometimes it's better to stay on topic.
Yeah, I think you made a great point. It depends on, like right now, we're not really answering a question. So we're kind of watching the chat room a little more than usual. But if somebody came in and asked a question right now, they would have my entire focus, because the last thing I want to do is miss a gold nugget that they're spitting out because I'm watching the chat room. And it's kind of one of those things where it is. It's a fun little dance. I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, if your audience is primarily recorded, right? And in a lot of cases, like, so Home Gadget Geeks that I do, 95% of the listens are recorded. I give preference to the recording as opposed to the chat room, right? Because it's in that case, I know if the chat room goes wild, and I've gotten feedback from my listeners sometime, too much chat room conversation this week, like stay on topic. Yeah. I've gotten that feedback from them. And so I'm going to, in that kind of situation, I'm going to favor the interview, the show itself, as opposed to bringing everything in from chat. One of the other ways, we actually split that Home Gadget Geeks into kind of an interview. So the first 45 minutes is interview. We kind of stay on topic. And then the next 25, 30 minutes is we drop off the interview. We let them go. And then we kind of interact with the chat room. So you can do both at that point and not ruin your interview.
I think that would be the way to go in most cases, would be, I'm going to do the show, you can listen, and I'll answer your questions at the end just to stop you from being derailed. Steven asks, what's your opinion on someone who is adding a live chat element to their podcast? Should they go 0 to 100 and just start referencing it as, you know, it is, or should you try to ease the listener into it? That's the only thing I always worry about, is the person, because again, 90% of our audience listens later. And when I say, you know, that Jason Bryan says this or that, and if I bring it in, that's fine, but it makes me feel like I'm missing something. Maybe, I guess I'm worried about that. Or I don't want to make it that if you're not listening live, you're missing the whole show kind of thing. And you kind of lose that part of where we're talking to you. You're more a voyeur on what happened on Saturday morning, which is just going to be kind of the case for this show. That's just kind of the way.
Well, but that's the genre we're in. Right. This is a question and answer show. So I think it's assumed we're going to spend 85% of our time, if not more, with the chat room. That's the chat room, or people calling in. If you're an interview show, though, and you're wanting to add chat to it, think of it as that. Add it slowly with, you know, maybe only reference it once or twice until you get really, really comfortable with it. Hey, Roy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can y'all hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, awesome. Hey, I do have a question. Actually, I noticed that Mike Russell did a podcast. He did a 36-hour live streaming podcast on YouTube Live. Not YouTube Live, but Facebook Live
stream. He also did it on Blab.
Yeah, I know, but I was curious to know. I know Wirecast came out with something. Is that how he was using it, you think? I mean, because nobody really can tell me how he screenshotted it with using Blab and Facebook, using Facebook to live stream it.
Probably. It was vMix or one of those, you know, one of those video capture devices, then push it to both. You can do both, right? Both Blab and Facebook are WebRTC, so you can send both signals to it at the exact same time.
Using what software? Wirecast, it is?
All these services just look for a virtual camera. So whatever he had pushed it out as a virtual camera, and then Blab or Facebook picked it up that way. But it could have been any of those.
I mean, what do you think, Dave? Do you think podcasting using Facebook Live is a good idea as well? As far as, like, let's say if you did it on your Facebook page, would you be doing it in the future as far as streaming it from your Blab video?
No. For me, I like to keep it simple. I do a fair amount of editing. A lot of my stuff, I'm adding sound effects in later. It would just be talk. I've thought about this, like recording the video, throwing it on YouTube, throwing it on just me, because it'd be like little 5-minute segments as opposed to an hour long. It's like, here's the because of my podcast story. Here's the, you know, the doing each segment as a video spot. And if there were 48 hours in the day, I'd be all over it. But I just got to pick my battles. And I'm like, if I was doing one podcast and one only, and wasn't doing consulting and all the other stuff, I might. But the more you add, the more time it's going to take. And I'm not sure, you know, that's it'd be interesting to test just to see how many more viewers I got and things like that. But it's one of those things, the more you add to it, one of the things, there's a great article by Tim Ferriss, and he talks about he just has a, you know, recorder and two mics on his kitchen table. And that guy's getting hundreds of thousands of downloads per episode.
It's content, right?
Yeah, there's no DBX 286 involved. There's no, you know, master channels. It's just two mics. I got two turntables and a microphone. You know, he's got a portable recorder and two microphones, and the guy's crushing it. So,
Roy, what did you think?
I thought it was something new. That I'm always about something new to try something. I thought it was pretty cool because when I first saw the video, I was like, is that Blab? Because you couldn't, the only way I could tell is all the people at the top. I was like, oh, that's Blab. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I do it on this show. That's basically how I do it. So
yeah,
the school of podcasting is always kind of, at times, last minute. I do this weird thing where it's Sunday night. I've like, okay, this is as good as it's going to get. Hit record, idiot, you know, because I'm always working on it. Maybe I should add this. Maybe I should add that. There's a lot of trying to figure out exactly what I wanted. What are my bullet points? What the main things? A lot of planning goes into that. So I'm a lot of times doing it last.
Yeah. And I did see that. Well, like, what's his name? JPEG said that you have to have a verified account to be able to stream from Facebook. Yeah, that is true. I was looking into that before I called in, but yeah, I just didn't know what y'all thoughts were. But I have seen, I don't know how y'all thought about that, when it was pretty popular about 6 months or maybe a year ago, that video podcasts were pretty popular. People were uploading a bunch of videos. Mm-hmm. And do y'all think it's still popular? It feels like it's the audio podcasts are coming up and the videos are kind of...
I think we just stopped talking about it. I mean, yeah. I think it's still, there's still hundreds, 500 hours for every minute are uploaded to YouTube. So, you know, they're still happening probably. I just don't think the novelty is worn off. Those who are going to go video and have an appropriate content to do it have done it. And those that aren't going to do it. And so is it popular? I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of talking heads on YouTube and podcasts that are going on.
Yeah.
I think if it works for you, John, we do talk. I'm always surprised. You know, we do a talking head podcast and we get hundreds of views on YouTube and you kind of go, why? It's why would anyone sit down at their computer and watch it? But one of my biggest things that my audience asked for was a video RSS feed. And I kept saying, just go watch it on YouTube. And they're like, we don't want to. We want to download it onto the phone and we want to watch it when we're traveling. That's what we want to do. And I thought when I open that video RSS up, I create a video large and a video small, kind of based on the resolution. I thought these will get like 10. They get hundreds. And like, I'm like, this is unbelievable. Why would anybody download this to their phone and watch it? But you don't argue with your audience, right? Right. When they say they want it, you give it to them. And if I gave it to them and it was like three, you know, I might have some other, but I literally get hundreds. And so it's just a bizarre thing. I still think if you're in most cases, most podcasters are making video anyway, right? Mm-hmm. They're connecting via Blab. They're doing it via Hangout. Skype might be the only way where it's kind of difficult to catch the video for the average podcaster. But if you're capturing the video anyways, what's the harm in doing a quick edit on it and throwing it up to YouTube?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that also depends on your niche, right? If you're listening to audio podcasts and you're getting more downloads from audio podcasts, why would you upload to YouTube? I mean, still upload to YouTube.
For SEO is why.
Yeah, backlinks and stuff like that. That's the only reason I would say you would want to do that.
Yeah. No, that's exactly why you do it, right? Because it's got, you know, amazing SEO if you do it right.
Yeah. What I would love to do is make like a cool 2-minute video, like a promo for each episode. That would be something if I had time I would do. Like, hey, on this week's episode, and then play a clip of it, and you're going to learn how to do this. Here's a clip. For more information, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/510.
Yeah, more time.
Exactly. And I went, that's
2 hours of work.
It's like, right, do I want to sleep or eat?
Promo.
Yeah. That's.
It's a good idea, though, to take some of the, like, you know, every week we produce a talking head video show. Like I said, it gets maybe 100 views on YouTube. Some get a couple thousand. It just depends what's in them. And then... after I'm done, I could sit down with that video and splice out little clamors, you know, little 24-second bits, could put those together for a video promo, and then also take those become my clamor moments, and then just move those up to clamor. But to get those 24-second audio bits out, I've got to listen to everything and think about it. That means my show's an hour and 20 minutes every week. That's a lot of work, right, to pull out those 24-second clips. So...
yeah. Do you think Clamor will come with something in the future, to doing something similar to what they're doing, the audio version?
For video?
Yeah. Like Clamor having a video version, like a 15-second video. That would be cool.
It would be cool. Yeah, I think so. Probably. I don't know. Well, they haven't said anything, but why wouldn't you?
Yeah. We're the shot. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Roy. Thanks for jumping in, man. Good to see you. Yep. All right. Take care. What do you think of marathon podcasting? It just as a concept, you know, we're seeing that now. I've seen a bunch of that. I've even seen it for charity. You know, hey, we're going to do 24 hours for autism or something like that. What do you think of that concept of getting people on and talk? Do you think it works?
So the idea, I think, is people talk about, oh my gosh, Mike is doing 36 hours. And I tuned in for the last like half hour and he was just a zombie. It was interesting. I'm not sure. I will say this, it was funny because in the last half hour, there was a guy on who was talking about my favorite subject, and that was, of course, New and Noteworthy. And he said, because somebody asked him, what do you think of New and Noteworthy? He said, well, it can bring in a lot of people. And the key word there is could and a lot. Both are, and I said right in the chair, I said, no, it doesn't. And then I said, define a lot, and he didn't. So I'm kind of like, eh, so...
Well, besides the back end, like, do they make money? We don't know if they do or not. But do you think from a listener standpoint, I mean, are there people like who just are drawn you, like you came because you know Mike?
Yeah, right? I kept popping in a couple times. I popped in basically through the whole thing, and usually it was okay. You know, it was interesting.
It's an interesting idea. I'm seeing more and more do it, wondering if it's working. Hey, we mentioned Clamor, and Steven asked, do you have any stats on Clamor? You've been working with them a little bit, Dave.
What zero. And I feel bad about that because I started the Clamor cast. The idea was it was going to be an easy show. They would hand me a list. I would put it together. I kept adding more stuff to it. If if I do one this weekend, you'll see where I am now cutting back on stuff. I'm making the production very simple so I can just spit them out. That was the whole idea. The other thing is I have to often ask them for a list. You know, it's just, it's not, and I don't expect it.
They don't crank it out automatically for you.
It's one of those things that I have to do. And not that I expect me to be the top priority by any means. I have other things doing, but if I'm not being prompted, it's really easy just to forget about it. So,
I think Blab's staying pretty flat. If I look at my numbers on Blab, and I use Blab every single week for some of our stuff, I get, you know, 40 to 50 listens consistently. Every once in a while, it'll get a bump and it'll go over 100. Now, it literally takes me 30 seconds to set up because I clamor our Polling Matters podcast, which is Frank Newport, and he starts, "Hello, everybody." You know, Frank Newport, editor-in-chief. And then he goes right to the headlines, like what he's going to talk about. He's a pro. And he teases the three things he's going to talk about. Well, that's a perfect 24-second clamor. So it literally is 35 seconds for me to go in, make sure it's in the podcast stuff, grab it. I don't try to find a spot. I just start at the very beginning because that's the perfect. He's kind of built it for that. And then I hit submit. So for me, there's very little work to use clamor. And sometimes those get in the hundreds. Is it worth it for 35 seconds? I think so. Yeah, no, it's worth doing.
You can actually go into your Libsyn stats and do a search and see. It's not super easy, but you can see how many people came from Clamor. And it's usually, for me, it's in the single digits. But if it's, you know, single digits, you know, if that adds one more person and that one person tells five more people, was that worth the minute I spent putting it together?
Yeah, the ROI on that, it's so simple, especially if you're doing it kind of in the midst of something else. There are times, like I say, I'm waiting in line and I'll do some things that are very quick 2-minute processes while I'm waiting for something, or in between things at work, I'm thinking, well, I got 5 minutes to go to a meeting and I don't want to start something new. So I'll grab, you know, I kind of store up those kinds of things to do and to process and to work on. So it's interesting. I would say flat to climbing slightly. That number, that 50 number, used to be 30. You know, a couple months ago, I used to consistently get about 30, and now I'm getting about 50. I just don't, there's not a ton of traction. They're not the darling of Silicon Valley right now. So I'm not hearing a ton of traction from all the Facebook Live, right, is the darling right now. And everybody can't, this is like last year with Periscope and Meerkat. Everybody talking about a Facebook Live, everybody's on it, and you're kind of okay. So Frank asks, when you guys do field interviews, what do you find to be most effective for audio, handheld, lav, or shotgun mics?
I usually just use either the built-in mic. I have a thing from a company called Giant Squid Audio that I plug into when I'm using this, the RO5. That is actually split. So I'll put one lav on me, one lav on them, and it then puts them in separate channels, which makes for easy editing when I get home. I've never used a shotgun mic. And in almost all cases, I always announce, I'm talking with so-and-so live from the floor of such-and-such, because no matter what you use, it's going to be, you're going to have some background noise. All those are condenser microphones, so they always pick up everything. And the other thing you'll notice, that the quiet room that you found, by the time you get done talking, will have somehow not become quiet. My favorite is we walked in, empty room, nothing but dishes. And then like 5 minutes before we're done, the help comes in, clink, clink, clank, clank, clank. Then I'm like, okay, great. So
they couldn't see. It always ends up like, I've talked about this before at work, the janitor comes out of the elevator and the studio is right off the elevator, and I can hear him roll that garbage can over the tile, you know, rah, 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 rah. I was at Northwest Missouri State doing an interview, and the garbage, I mean, who, the garbage trucks are supposed to be early in the morning, right, Dave? That's usually when they do it. This garbage truck, it was 12:30 in the afternoon. He is beeping up, and I swear he is taking that, you know, because every little noise when you're trying to record seems like it's lasting an eternity. And I'm swearing he's lifting up that garbage can and slamming it on the ground just because he knows, right? That's what's going through my mind, because he knows I'm podcasting. So he's bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, good. You know, and they'd cracked the windows. It was a super nice day. They'd cracked the windows for me to kind of keep it nice in there. So I had to get up and shut the windows. He moved down to the garbage can underneath the other set of windows that were open. I swear he did it on purpose, right? And that's not the truth. But when you're podcasting and those noises come in, that is so annoying. I have used these 2100s in the field and they were great. So we ship them. They're durable. They last. I mean, some of our microphones literally get shipped out to a new client every single week. And I've probably ordered 35 or 40 of them and I've lost two or three. Usually they leave the plug in the back of it when they ship it. And then it just snaps off that,
oh, yeah.
You know, that little solder in there and you're done at that point. But, the 2100s make a great field mic. And I even like the stand that comes with them. That little baby one. It works for, in a lot of cases that works. I wouldn't make it too complicated. We use shotgun mics at work when we're recording, when the studio guys are doing a real video shoot in the studio, they've got a nice shotgun mic that they use. With a shotgun mic, you either need somebody holding it or you need gear, right? To kind of hold that up out of the camera angle. But those work great too. They're expensive. I'll get out.
Here's an interesting question. Where'd it go? What's your best interview? That's a toughie because I've had, Jordan Harbinger was a great interview. The guy from The Art of Charm, Jeff Brown did a great interview once about radio and podcasting. Obviously Glenn, the Geek's up there. Jim, I'm forgetting the ghost story guy who I recorded at a McDonald's with a 2100 and a Zoom H5. I guess that's a tough one. I don't know if I have one that I remember. Jordan Harbinger was cool because he was on satellite radio and basically said he got more interaction with his audience, more feedback from his podcast than he did being on XM radio at like drive time. And he said, that's the one thing he said. He goes, podcasting is a bad word. It's serious, which is probably why they have Howard Stern about once a week saying how podcasters are idiots.
I think they pay him to say that.
It makes you wonder. Well, he is a major stockholder. You know, it's like,
So he gets paid by a stock to say that.
Consider the source there. Yeah. He's trying to keep that stock up. So when he finally cashes in, it's got, they have 30 million listeners over there now. I was surprised to hear that they're growing. I'm like, really? Cause, okay, if you say so, but that's, who knows? That might be because he re-upped for another 5 years, but, they announced that this week. Actually, it's one of the things I do. It's funny. I can't listen to podcasts. I can't, depending on what it is, while I'm working, because I'm doing tech support for Libsyn, but I can listen to Howard because I'm kind of tuning in and tuning out. It's not something I'm taking notes on, but he's only on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday now. I want that job 3 days a week, getting paid bazillions of dollars.
Like, okay. Yeah, there's a little research that goes into it, right? It does. Yeah. It's like the radio guys who have a morning show, and you think, hey, 3 hours on the radio, how hard can that be? Well, most of them show up 3 hours in advance to get ready, 3 or 4 hours in advance. And then they've got to do voiceover work or that stuff in the afternoon. So a lot of them put in, you know, they put in a 9, 10, 11 hour day.
Yeah.
By the time they're done, it's not as glamorous as it seems. I think about my favorite interview, maybe not, I have a person, but my genre for sure. The folks I love interviewing the most are startups. And you get those guys. We just interviewed Anonybox. They make this VPN device that you can either create your own VPN server or use it as a VPN server. It's really nerdy, but we had their VP of operations and their CTO and founder on a Thursday. And it's just super fun. It's 12 guys in the company and it's Startupville, right? And they're killing it. We had Jamie Siminoff from Ring.com kind of on as they were getting real popular.
Nice.
And Jamie was like telling us the inside scoop on like, hey, they almost went out of business and, you know, like they had shipped product that people weren't buying yet. And, you know, the problems of shipping product and pushing firmware updates after they've gone out and some of those kinds of things. So it's, for me, those are really, really fun. Probably only second though to when we get listeners, community listeners on. So like the guys that listen every week, I'll bring them on and they get to talk about their gear. Those are super fun because those guys know they're the community. That's your listener. And I think if you can engage them and bring them on, I had 2 weeks ago, we had one of our listeners who's been listening for a year and a half, very active in the community. And all he did was come in and talk about his gear, which is what our show is about. And it was dynamite. So those are my favorite kinds when I think about what interviews I do. Those are my favorite kinds.
Yeah. It's interesting. We had a couple of people that have tried to come into the Blab. And when I say let them come in, they just disappear. So.
Maybe it's broken. So if you have a question, just drop / Q in there and we can cover it.
Well, the one thing we didn't talk about that's kind of almost a golf clap. It's like, which of course is Google Plus.
Google Play Music.
Yes,
right?
Google Play Music launched this week, kind of.
To a whimper.
That's my whole thing. I'm like, wait a minute. You had us enter all, you have all these podcasts in your system. And I was like, okay, here they, and they're going to come out and go, bam. And they went, that was it. That was, I was like, it's web-based. My favorite is, and I just heard about this on the Spreaker live show. They're using Flash. Flash. So you can't do this, you know, after every stat says 70% of podcasts are consumed on their phone. Let's use a platform that doesn't work on your phone. I'm like, really? Wow. Okay. So
the app still hasn't updated on my phone. I'm still 3.9 or 3.9 for the app.
And when they said it's live, I'm like, oh, cool. And I expected to pull up my phone and say, you have one update waiting. Nothing. So now it's going to be a trickle that it's going to be a test to see who can trickle the slowest, Spotify or Google Plus. I was just like, I keep checking everything and I'm like, and then
it was just painful.
And then, Fred Castaneda, I haven't tested this myself. He was playing his show on Google Play Music on Firefox and it was making him sound really weird. Like they re-encoded it. Now I have to go over and look at what Fred's files are. There are a lot of things that could come into effect there if he's doing something at a, you know, at 33.8 hertz instead of 44.1 or whatever. I was really kind of bummed.
I kind of saw this coming because we've seen Google roll stuff out before. They're engineers. They're not advertisers, right? And so I kind of knew this thing would launch on Monday to okay, it's there. What's there? Like, and then there's they didn't change anything and they certainly are not advertising for it. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'll go get my URL and I'll paste it in. And the guys also on Spreaker Live show complained about a vanity URL. Yeah. And I was like, have you seen the YouTube link? Have you forgotten how the iTunes link or the iTunes link?
Yeah.
Have you forgotten how crazy the iTunes link is? I mean, that's on, there's no vanity URL for iTunes.
No. So
why would we expect one from Google? And so I was going to grab that. I thought, okay, it's this great opportunity to grab that replace. You know, I've been using the subscribe on Android links that Rob's been doing or Todd has been doing, which is a great system, by the way. That works pretty awesome. You click on that link, it takes you to the page. It offers you a bunch of players, on Android if you want to use that, if you're new to Android. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe it's time to go out and replace that link with the Google Play link. And I wanted to test it to make sure that when I click on it on my Android phone, it takes me to the Google Play store and gives me a chance to subscribe. None of that functionality works.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, slow. Yeah. It's,
I was just not like,
even slow clap.
Has it's anybody even
underwhelming?
Let me explain the concept of a first impression and how you've just blown yours. I was like, you know, because we're all like wondering, is this going to make an effect or not? Well, we can all obviously say, no, it's not going to make any effect because you blew it. I was like,
it doesn't work.
Yeah. I was like, you got
it. Yeah. For the most part, it just doesn't work. It's just too bad. I kind of knew they would botch this. You know, you're kind of like, yeah, they're going to screw this one up pretty soundly. And so the good news is, Dave, is if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it.
Right.
You know, and so from a consumer standpoint, because they built it up for us, but let's just say there's probably 10,000 podcasters who really care. That doesn't matter. Right.
In the grand scheme.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter. Yeah. And so the average consumer doesn't know it's out there. And so hopefully over the next couple of weeks, they'll get all the components updated. Everybody's phone will get it available. The links will work. And then we can replace that as the link and truly say, click on this link from your Android phone. It will take you to the Google Play Music and subscribe. That's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah. And there is a hint in there that there will be stats, which, you know, yay, stats.
Like Monday, right?
Yeah.
So stats for something that nobody knows how to
subscribe. Exactly.
In their, and they got to use a PC to get to it, to listen to it. Yeah, it's meaningless at this point. Hopefully they'll fix it.
Hey, before I forget, we need to thank our awesome supporters like Andy Sokolovich from UnleashStrengths.com, Frank Brill, who's in the chat room, Dale Henninger, Rob Griffiths, who's the narrative bedtime FM's story time, Mike from ADHD Think Tank, Corey from Ivy Envy, Ed Bubbero, Jim Cullison, Jason Bryant from Matt Talk Online, Dave Wilson, Ruel's Running Podcast, the Seahawkers Podcast, Craig from Inglaeus Podcast, let's see, Glenn from the Horse Radio Network, and of course, Cody Sasson. And here's the thing. I need to fix this, and I need to, this is one of the things that's on my list of things to do today. I have two Patreons. One is the monthly one, Ask the Podcast Coach, the best one to go. And I thought I'd remove them all from Ask the Podcast Coach. They all went to whatever that is. And I know Emily from Classy Little Podcast signed up, and I think she's on the other one. So I'm going to put out a video over there, which is basically that one I get paid anytime I put out a video. And it's really weird. That messes with my head, because every time I put out a video, I make like $40. And I'm like, is this video worth $40? So I have a really hard time publishing on that side. And I just want to send everybody over here to this one. But thanks to everyone who's that's if you're wondering, why don't I see anything over there? There's no Ask the Podcast Coach. That's why. And I got to tell you something. I did this on as a completely tangent last week on the School of Podcasting, because, you know, I have the wall of nothing behind me. And I said, if you're listening to the show, and if you're listening to this show, I said, I what I should do is put pictures of my audience back there. So this is Alan Lee at the bank. This is Paul. And there are a lot of, now you'll notice here. Here's Paul in his car.
Yep.
Gordon Firemark in front of his computer.
I almost took a picture when you said that right in my car.
And I forget. I have these people's names written down. J.D. Sutter, Troy Heinrichs. A lot of these, notice you guys are all in the car. This one was like a Facebook shot. He took, I'm sitting here listening to Dave Jackson. I thought I had everybody's name.
Not too hard to guess your demographic.
Yeah. And, so basically dude in the car, another dude in the car. Here's another guy. I was talking Chicago with him, 'cause he's on the train. Now this guy, not in the car, but, very cool. And then, the last
you
one,
you got a lot.
I got like 13. I was surprised.
That's
and,
awesome.
This guy is riding a bulldozer all day and listens to podcasts. But yeah, I was like, apparently no women listen to my show. Not one.
Your demographic is super easy to tell there.
It's like, but it's really cool, because everybody that set one in, I was like, hey, thanks so much. Tell me a little bit about your podcast. What's going on? And I was the thing I was really amazed, because I always assume at this point that most of the people that listen to the School of Podcasting have a podcast. And the answer is no, they don't. Now, in some cases, they're YouTubers that are thinking about getting into podcasting and things like that. But it's one of those things that I just kind of was like, hey, let's try this. And I'm going to start promoting it more. And I actually bought, I just actually got it today, some mounting putty. Because I'm like, what am I going to put scotch tape? How am I going to do this? So I got some mounting putty. So I'll be tacking them up there on the wall.
That's a great idea, by the way. I think that's genius. I mean, what a great way. And when you said that, I thought, I wonder how many people will do it. 13 is a great number, right?
I was surprised.
And you mention it this week, and you'll get a whole rash more saying, hey, I had 13 people send it in. Yeah. You know, people love to jump on successful things. And so
And I do need to be very careful about saying, women, please send me a picture of yourself. Because that could,
you don't want that.
Again, going back to the
that guy.
To do a callback to the beginning of the show with clothes on. Not that I'm married and would care, but no, we preferably clothes.
It is, Dave, that when you think about, like you just said, some of your audience that listens to School of Podcasting, they don't have podcasts. And you think, why are they doing that? And we have this natural desire built into us to group together like birds of a feather, right? We say birds of a feather flock together. People find you, and then they kind of just like the personality or whatever, they associate with it, and they just lock in. And it doesn't, they don't have to be doing the thing that, like in this case, you create this for podcasts. They don't have to be doing that. They just want to listen to you every week. And I think we underestimate that value in our podcast of just being nice and having a great audience and interacting with them. I think it's an important point. Go full circle back to the beginning of really engaging with your audience and figuring out who they are. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the chat room during the show. I think of all the emails I get offline during the week or whatever, and you've got to respond to those too, right? You can't let those go. You've got to kind of keep watching them.
I picture a lot of people standing on the diving board. They've made it that far. They know they want to get in the pool. They're just, I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're like, yeah, listen, I'm thinking about possibly maybe might start one, or I want to do one. I'm just not sure what on yet. They're all in that kind of, they're circling the drain before they go down the tubes and actually go by the microphone and or whatever.
Maybe they never will. Maybe they just want to be a part of there's something to like being on the fringe and thinking eternally that you're going to do it, but you never really do.
Right.
You know, and you just kind of live vicariously. Maybe that's the thing. You're living vicariously through the rest of the podcast community. Hey, if you don't want to do a podcast, don't do one. Not everyone has to have one. That'd be too many if that was the case. Like if we had 250 million podcasts in the United States because everybody was doing one,
that'd
be too many.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy that comes to the Cleveland Podcasters Meetup that's been planning a show for 3 years. And I'm like, Robert, man, you just pulled the trigger, you know? And then we kind of made him mad because we said, you if you come next week, you have to bring something recorded. Doesn't have to be a podcast. Just record your voice. And he kind of was like, it was almost like we weren't bullying him, but we're really trying to push him. It's like, no, come on, let's get you over the hump. And he was kind of like, I'm not coming anymore. And I'm like, okay.
Maybe he doesn't want to be over the hump though. Maybe, yeah. Like I said, maybe he just wants to circle on the outside and hang out and not always be thinking about the start. Cause sometimes there are people, and I'm a little bit like this too. The process of getting to the point is way more fun than getting to the point.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy the startup process. Now, once it's there, man, I'm bored super fast. Like, we've already done that. It's a miracle that Home Gadget Geeks has 257 episodes. And
nice.
The only reason is it's because it's different every week, right? And so, I couldn't stand doing the same thing week in, week out.
I'm glad you said that. When did you get into podcasting?
2008.
2008. I think. And then how long have you been working for Gallup?
I started Gallup in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah. When I joined Gallup, I started blogging and then started listening. I'd been listening to podcasts early, you know, the Dvorak, Cranky Geeks, you know, those early ones. And then actually reached out to another podcaster first and said, hey, I'd love to join your show. Right. I think that's one of the most effective ways to get going on podcasting. See if you can be a guest or guest host on somebody else's show. And then did that for about a year. And I like, I could have my own show. And then I did what everybody does. I went crazy and started like 6 podcasts all at once. Yeah. No.
I think my record, I had 7 going, actively going at one time. I just did nothing but go to school and podcast.
I think I had 5 regular weekly. If I think about it, Spartan Radio, Fitness Tech, Financial Tech, Home Tech is what we called it in the day. I had this whole tech thing going on. So 4 or 5 weekly. Yeah, Sarah looked at me. She usually lets me do kind of what I want. She looked at me in that era and went, you are freaking crazy. Settle down, podcast boy.
Easy. Easy there. Jason has a question. I'm trying to see. I know I did an episode on this about being a guest on other people's shows. I always say, because I don't get defensive, but I'm always a little, maybe I do. I'm a little skeptical when somebody says, I'd like to be on your show. I'm always kind of like, why? And when they say, because I'm successful in business, I'm like, do you listen to my show? I always say, again, kind of circle the drain a little bit. Start leaving comments on their blog, follow them on Twitter, just kind of politely get in front of them nonchalantly and send them an email and say, hey, I really like this show. You know, episode number such and such was great. I really did this. When I did this, such and such and such and such, this is what I found. Start that conversation. And the other thing, if you really want to get them to notice you, talk about them on your show and then send them an email saying, I talked about you on my show. That will, I would almost think, guarantee that they will listen to your show because we're all vain. We want to hear what people said. And then hopefully if they see that you're doing something that could bring value to their audience, if they're smart, they should go, would you like to be a show on my guest? Yeah. Would you like to be a guest on my show? That might be a way to do it. As opposed to, hi, I'm here. You know, if you can kind of show that I could bring value, that's the way I would do it. I don't know if I don't know if there's a de facto way, but that's how I would do it. Jim, how would you?
The value proposition, Dave, just write them and say, hey, I talk on this and here's some examples you can listen to just so you know, I'm not crazy. And, you know, here's some things I've done. And that's still, I think a lot of podcasters get that kind of, I'll ask you, you don't ask me type deal. Never hurts to ask. I mean, Mike Dell was doing a podcast, Podcaster's Help Desk, right? No, just
Podcaster's Help Desk.
And I wrote him. I said, hey, I want to talk. Would you do that? He doesn't do a lot of interviews. And I just, I know Mike, so it's a little bit different. It's just not out of the blue. But I think you can and you should just say, hey, look, you're talking about these things. And would it be okay if I joined you for that? They can always just say no. I mean, that's not the end of the world. But if you never ask, you'll never get the chance. And so I think if it fits, ask from, but your advice is perfect. I think in getting into the community, leaving some notes, getting to know them, hoping that that will reciprocate back. But if it doesn't, just ask.
Yeah. And Chris Nessie, he's at Mr. Nessie. Chris helps me. House of EdTech. Is that right? That's it. I know it's.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I know that's his name. I'm thinking of his .com or what. But he was on the School of Podcasting because he's always contributing over here. He's on Voxer, so I hear him contributing over there. And when I did a show on Anchor versus Voxer, I was like, I need somebody who's kind of a Voxer power user. And I knew Chris knew that and brought him on. And I knew so that's that whole thing of just kind of being around and saying, hey, I need that guy knows that. And, he'll go ahead and chime in.
Bernie's asking to be on the podcast.
I'm
going to
say, apparently. Like, my cat is chiming in.
Dave, I'm going to change. Speaking of my desk, I went out and bought some materials. We're going to raise this to a standing desk this weekend. And no fancy gear. I'm just going to block it up so it's height. I've got kind of a desk that makes an L. So the sitting part will be over here and standing part will be here. And we'll get it up. Well, I'm doing way too much sitting. I mean, I need more fitness and a little less fatness, if you know what I mean. So trying to get to the point where I spend so many hours at this desk and I will literally sit here more than I sit at work. And because at work, I have an excuse to get up. I have meetings and stuff to get around. I can sit here like on a Friday night. Last night I got here, I got home 5 or 6. I worked till midnight here at the desk getting podcast stuff done. 6 hours of straight sitting is brutal on your body. So I actually had an old desk that I saved the top for, and I'm just going to block it up on the bottom and bring it up. I think it's 36 inches or whatever that height is. We're going to bring it up, block it in. I'll move all the equipment up on top of it. So hopefully if all said and done, I'll be coming standing up next week on Ask the Podcast Coach, but you still need a sitting spot. So I'll have this place over here. Then the chair will be pushed in. If I need to sit down and do some things, I can do it over here. So that's from a podcasting standpoint. And it cost me $15 for materials, right?
Gotta love
You try to buy those stand-up desks now?
They're like $1,000 in some cases.
Crap, yeah.
And even ones that are like, that you put on your desk that then adjust up, those start at like $500. And I'm like,
they're expensive. I think I've seen them for as cheap as $350, but you get what you pay for. Yeah. So it's crazy. I'm going to have to do some adjusting to my lights and change some things and probably move some PCs and monitors around to kind of make it work. But I'm kind of excited about it. It'll be fun to, I'm hoping it'll bring a little more, a little less fatness to me as we.
Well, I've been just doing the thing where you set a timer and just, it's like, get up and walk for, I basically go out, walk around the parking lot just to get up and move. Cause and then I made a rule for myself. If I'm watching anything on TV, typically it's on a treadmill. So thanks to the Cavs last night, I was down half a pound when I woke up today.
Oh, cool. Because you've lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, I'm almost down 30 pounds.
So yeah. That's awesome, man. Congrats on
it. And it's nothing major. It's like when I first started, I was losing like 5 pounds a month. Now I'm losing like maybe 2. But, slowly but surely. It's we're getting.
I'm getting some advice. Tommy says you'll have to learn not to shift foot to foot, and that's true. When you're standing, it's different than you tend to do this when you're standing. So I'll have to watch that when I'm doing it. And then Felix says get a high stool that you can stand and sit on the same height, so that you can sit. There'll be times you need to sit down, so do that. And then that's a good idea. Those are all great ideas. And I love setting the timer. We have a new virtual assistant here in the studio. I've wired this in so we can say, Echo, set an alarm for 3 minutes.
3 minutes starting now.
Nice. So we've wired in the Echo into the studio and we're hoping that I'm adding a segment to my tech podcast, you know, the latest on the Echo. We haven't figured out what we're going to call it yet, but every week Amazon sends out an email with some, you know, some tips and pointers on it. So we're going to use the Echo. I've wired it in, and you, the audience can't ask Echo questions, but every time I say Echo, of course it responds, but
nice.
It'll be kind of fun. Yeah. So in 3 minutes, we better hurry up because the alarm's going to go off in 3 minutes.
I was trying to find, there's an app. It's something like 3030. It's some sort of little, you work for 30 minutes and then you play for 30 minutes or something like that. And you set it up and it reminds you, and you can set up like a clock. It's free. That's the thing I loved about it. I forget where I heard about it, but it's some sort of like, it's not Tamata training. That's an actual thing, but there's some sort of fancy word. Mm-hmm. That, 3030, that is, will remind you to get up. Of course, there's all sorts of wearables that will vibrate and.
Yeah, I have a band. I have a Microsoft band that mm-hmm. does the same thing. I want to program it to say, hey, fat boy, get up and walk. That's the, because it just says it's time to take some steps, you know. But I need it to be a little abusive and insultive to me. So I actually do something.
Get a little nasty at you. Get up. What are you doing? So
get some, when my son moved in, he put a pull-up bar that's right here. And all I need to do is just walk over there every once in a while and do some pull-ups that, you know,
I have,
it's not hard. You just got to do it.
I have I forget what it's called. Rip 60. One of these things you hang on the door, and I will do on occasion. I'll hang it because it only works on my bathroom door, and I will throw it up there. And then when I get up from the desk, I'll go walk around the parking lot, come back and do some pull-ups or whatever on that whole thing until I break in half. That's the other thing. We've turned into a fitness show, but it's amazing.
No.
There's a great app called Seven, just the number Seven, and it's body weight exercises, and you'll be amazed at just with no weights. You'll wake up the next day feeling like you broke yourself.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton you can do that way. Well, but as podcasters, we sit a lot. We are stationary a lot. I think fitness is an important part of the podcasting regime because we want you to be around for a while.
Yeah.
So get fit. Absolutely. Less fat, more fit.
Jim, anything exciting coming up on the averageguy.tv?
We talked about that. The one we did, I just posted it this morning. So if you head up to the averageguy.tv, we talked to the guys from AnanaBox. It's a little geeky, but it's kind of cool. Start Kickstarter ideas, some of that stuff. If you like those kind of interviews, we just did one, the averageguy.tv.
There you go. And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can find us every week, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And assuming Blab is working, you won't have to search for us, but hopefully they'll get their kinks worked out. We couldn't have any questions or... So we're... Well, that's it.
There's the alarm.
I was wondering, like, what is that? I'm like, dive, dive!
Let's see if I can figure out
duck and cover!
Off.
Yeah. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.